Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Brothers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
And we're also gamers this month.
Yeah, kind of.
Every comic book is going to be a video game. We play through the whole video game before we read the comic. Did you do your homework?
Sure did.
Did you do your 60 hours worth of homework, I think is?
60?
I can't remember how much I put in this game. I think it was actually 40.
That's like how much I put in at work. We're gamer kids, and we're getting into comics, do games that we like, game comics. We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Cyberpunk 2077 Trauma Team. We got Backbiter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news.
Oh, we got some news.
I wrote down like 2099 in my notes.
I don't know what you mean by that.
it was just so automatic, you know. I feel like Cyberpunk universe and how they have it is further.
Oh, you wrote 2099 for Cyberpunk?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was taken, I think. So yeah. They were like, we gotta go. I wonder how many numbers they went through.
Surely like 40.
They're like 2066? I was like, it doesn't sound great.
2177?
Yeah. How long has it? Fuck, it feels like forever, but we haven't talked about X-Men casting, have we?
No, that was D23. I think that was Saturday.
Okay. No, I found out about it on Friday.
Oh, he's just got the inside scoop. I got the inside scoop on Twitter. Well, this is going to be like 2-3 weeks after the fact, so.
True.
You say whatever you want.
Looks cool. Obsession Girl is Rogue.
Indy Never Ready
is Rogue.
Killer.
Adam Driver is Mr. Sinister, which I think is even more killer.
People are gonna be licking the screen.
Oh my god. I saw a comment, it was like, I'm not gonna make it through that movie. People are like, we're gonna jerk off in the theater.
I saw that like fan casting of that. I'm like, it's like too good, you know.
And of her as Rogue?
Yeah, and it'd just be like, it's gonna be distracting, I think.
Yeah. The thing that made me laugh the most
when she said sugar, I'm gonna implode.
I saw like a TikTok, and it was like a Hulk line from Endgame, and he's like, I think I was born to do this, and the caption was like, when they're casting Gambit.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
The only one that I was like paused by was the Professor X one.
Yeah, I don't really know anybody else. Obviously Sadie Sink, Jean Grey.
The Cyclops dude seemed good.
He seems
Kit Connor or something.
Kit Connor,
yeah.
And Cyclops, Chris Rabbit, Professor Charles Xavier. I don't really know any. Like, I know of Samara Weaving, I think.
Oh yeah, dude! Fucking Truth or Dare, Hide and Seek.
Don't Breathe.
No, well, she might have been. What's that one with like the family?
Knives Out.
No, she kills everybody.
The one with the family where she kills everybody?
Yeah, she just got married and they got to play a game.
Oh.
She was in Three Billboards. Ready or Not. That's what it is. Mm. Good.
Anyway.
Movie. There's a sequel. I don't know if it's any good though. But that's good. I like that.
Seems fine. There's also trailers for Doomsday and Vision Quest.
And Ahsoka 2.
Trailer. And Ahsoka 2.
Second season. Did you watch the Vision Quest trailer?
Yeah.
It seems interesting.
It seems cool. Yeah, James Spader's in it and he's doing his thing.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in a minute.
So he's a silly looking dude.
Yeah, they have him dressed a little silly.
Yeah.
But I like that it's like, you know, the voice actor or whatever.
I saw
it's
this.
Like, be a human.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems interesting. I don't know. I like that he's just kind of doing his own thing. And I'm glad that it's not just the visions.
Well, like, I feel like WandaVision was more the visions than anything.
But it seems like
kind of feels like it's got some of that.
This seems like it could have been him going to start his own life and figure out who he is or whatever, and then just doing the visions. But yeah, I think you're right. I think they dipped their toe in a little too far.
We can still read the visions and it'll be like, you know, valid.
Yeah, I think so. I saw this article. It's not really news. I just thought it was really funny. It's not often I see a news article and I laugh out loud, but this one just says, James Gunn says lanterns will explain why Hal Jordan didn't stop 9/11. And the quote is, he had a very good reason. I assume it's just he's off planet. But it's funny that
They need to clarify
someone
that.
Someone had to clarify that, or James Gunn had to clarify, or whatever. And that, it made me laugh.
Why didn't you stop January 6th? Go through every disaster. Yeah.
He's like, why didn't he help during, like, any earthquakes? You know?
That's like, that's the equivalent of, like, relevancy to me as, like, were the Minions.
Like, oh, yeah.
Did they follow Hitler?
No, they were frozen until, like, the 60s.
Were they?
Yeah, that's the lore.
Okay.
And so I think, like, the most evil person they would have.
Maybe Stalin or something. Like,
yeah, something like that. Or someone from Cuba. But yeah, that's official. So they didn't serve Hitler.
That's good.
That is good.
They thought of everything.
They did think of that. They're like, they serve every evil person.
They got some brain rot producers in there
to
be ready for that. Nathan, comics are alive and well.
That's good.
Yeah. Publishers Weekly, it reported that digital comic sales are only about 5 to 10% of what print sales are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, which seems...
That seems wrong.
Wrong, but I guess it's just what it is, you know?
Well, maybe people are just on, like, the apps that get stuff later, like six months later or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, but I guess it's just as far as just purchases of issues.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
People don't...
Is much lower.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
Which seems like just convenience-wise... I think people thought it would end up taking over print.
Yeah, but like that's, flip.
It's clearly not the case.
Yeah, I guess not. That's cool.
That's why all those like digital platforms like crumble after a couple months.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Rest in peace, Omnibus.
Yeah. The one I never used.
Yeah.
I
never used.
Yeah. There's going to be a Jean Grey book. Marvel's like,
yeah, we need a little late for that.
We need a Jean Grey book. It comes in November.
They 2026. Should have had that come out the week after the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, but then people would have been like, why is there a Jean Grey book? Yeah. Actually, no one would have thought that.
But so isn't that coming out like 4 months after this movie?
Yeah, in November.
Yeah.
It's going to be written by Jed McKay and art by Rohe Antonio.
The fucking timing of like publishers is like atrocious with some of this stuff. Like,
it's so bad. If toys can figure this shit out.
To really like capitalize on like movies and shit.
I just think that like they don't tell the comics arm.
The Beauty didn't have anything in print when that show came out.
Oh, you know? That was bad.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like so fucking easy, like an obvious one, you know? But anyway, I'll work there one day and I'll get it right.
You'd be like, there's a movie, we should get a comic.
Yeah.
And that's all you do.
Because I remember going to see fucking like Ghost Rider in the theaters. And right after, I'm like, let's go to...
Both of them?
The first one. Oh, I went to Atomic Comics because it was in the Chandler Mall.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked in there and I was looking at Ghost Rider comics and stuff. I saw...
It's just a better time.
I saw an Alien comic and it was fucking terrifying.
Cool.
And I was really scared of everyone in there. But like... There's got to be like other...
the people in the comic shop?
Yeah, people that work there. Yeah.
Why are they scary?
Because I was like 8 and it was like intimidating.
And you just don't know ball like they do?
Yeah, I didn't know anything.
You're like in 20 years, and I can walk in here comfortably.
And you're just like, I don't know what to do, you know? And
that's so funny.
I obviously didn't get anything, but like that can probably be like replicated.
That could have changed your life.
It could have. Yeah, I could have.
You could have started reading comics when you were 8.
Dude, imagine all the number ones I would have had by now.
Dude, your net worth would be way up.
Imagine how many absolute Batmans I'd have.
Yeah.
I would have much more.
You'd be obsessed with collecting by then.
Yeah, probably.
It comes for us all.
Yeah, I don't know if my life would really be that much different, honestly.
Your comics reading life would be way different.
I'd probably wouldn't have spent as much on like music stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Who's to say if I'd even ever get into music? But anyway. Yeah, the new book come from Mad Cave.
Cool.
By Ben Percy and Raul Fernandez. It's called Egg Hunt. And it is a Easter horror book.
Cool. I'm in.
Yep. Coming out November 18th. I think it's 4 issues.
November?
Yeah. A lot of the solicitations that are coming out in November. It's got like a Martin Marazzo first issue cover. So
cool.
Good stuff. Pretty exciting.
That's funny.
It's about time. I love Easter Bunny. I love a horror version of a normal holiday, you know, like Thanksgiving or there's plenty of Christmas horror stuff.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I think we got all of them now.
I think Creepshow had like a Valentine's Day issue that I did buy, but not like a trade or anything.
Mm.
But there's still plenty of opportunity for that. Garth Ennis and John McCree have a new horror one shot coming from Image. It's like that like imprint that he had, that horror imprint that had like one thing come out.
Images?
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a book called The Snail.
Oh.
Ooh, scary. That comes out November 11th.
Oh, cool.
So, good stuff. I think I decided, like, I need to buy everything that Garth Ennis, like, has coming out from now on. Because he's kind of, like, that. I feel like...
You think he's going to die?
No, but, like, I could see him, like, stop making comics.
He's just over it?
No, I don't think he's over it, but, like... This is like his like job and like his only thing it seems like he really wants to do. But like think about like all like the legends like from like the 90s, like they're not really making that much.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And right now he's really just doing this like indie stuff,
like Marv Wolfman kind of deal where it's just like he's not really doing anything.
Yeah, I didn't even know he's alive honestly until I saw him like go to a con.
Yeah, so, he's not on the stands.
Yeah, like you got like, your, I see what you mean. You got your Jim Lees who's like all an executive, you got your whatever,
yeah,
who are just like maybe making one thing but very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I've read I've like liked to some point, you know, so I,
right,
and he doesn't really have that much coming out. I think he just had like one miniseries come out this year.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. I see what you mean.
So I just want to like always support, you know, and mm-hmm. it wouldn't really be that big of a hit to the old wallet, you know.
Yeah, true.
So you got anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All righty, Nathan. What book did we read this week?
We read Cyberpunk Trauma Team, Cyberpunk 2077.
Colon,
Trauma Team. And it's by Colin Bunn with art by Miguel Valderrama with, I think, colors by Jason Wordy and letters by Frank with a Russian last name or something.
Frank Svetkovic?
Svetkovic?
Maybe.
Chekovic?
So, Nathan, you like Cyberpunk 2077.
I do. I played the game this year.
You really wanted to read a book about it.
Yeah. To be fair, I did want to read a different book that caught my eye that I thought would have had a trade by now, but it didn't.
Maybe so next time we do a video game month.
Maybe next time. Yeah.
Because there's plenty of options.
But I still like this. Did you not like it?
No, I thought it was cool. Oh, okay, cool. I don't know what Cyberpunk is. I just thought it was like you're Keanu Reeves and you shoot people.
No, you don't even do that in the game.
Okay.
Actually, you do so sometimes.
When I was reading this, I'm like, this...
What is this?
I didn't know if it was, like, too... This made it just seem like this is, like, what healthcare is like in this universe. And I don't know if that was, like, scratching that itch for you. So that's why I texted, like, kind of clarify.
Yeah, I think it does. It's definitely not... It's definitely just, like, a big difference from what you're doing in the game. Which is basically just... You're kind of, like, running around and trying to say fuck you to, like, the big mega corporations. So, like, Cyberpunk... is just like a big commentary on like capitalism taken to its extreme.
Yeah.
And there's like a few mega corporations that like own everything. And so because of that, there's like a huge class divide and that pushes people to poverty and then to crime. And it's like bigger, the crime rate's like bigger than it's ever been. And it causes people to turn to like crime or addiction or like selling parts of their body or making body modifications so that you can do better in crime or just for like pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a bunch of shit like that. So it's all very like poignant metaphor for the dangers of capitalism, which is pretty cool. And you definitely feel that in the game. And you feel it in this too, because you do see these like trauma team people come in, but not very often, but they...
You've seen a trauma team.
Yeah, and like the first like mission of the game, you see them come in and like rescue someone that you called in like help for.
Okay.
And so they make a pretty cool impression because they're like telling you like, stay the fuck back, let me go get the person. And they like think like, oh, this might be a trap kind of deal.
That's cool that like there's something kind of small from that game that they're able to kind of expand on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you see them kind of like fly around because it's an open world game. So you'll see them in other like aspects, but in the beginning of the game you're like trying to find this person and you find them and they've like overdosed on some sort of drug, some future drug, and so you call them in, but they have guns and shit and they need that because there's so many gangs and
there's
stuff.
A drug in this first issue that like a junkie was like taking. Is that the drug that you're talking about?
I think it might be.
It was like a vial or something.
Yeah, it also could just be like a stim, because there's like a mechanic of the game is you can have a like a stim that enhances you in some way, or it just like recharges your health. But some of them, depending on how you like to play, could be just like you move a lot faster. So if you have like a sword, you could move faster and cut someone up with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll just be like you are invulnerable for like a couple seconds.
Gotcha.
Stuff like that.
I saw, as soon as we like picked this book, I saw a video from someone named Jacob Hoff, and he did the top 5 video games with the most boobs, and Cyberpunk was number 5. Is that why you like this game so much?
It doesn't hurt. You see dick too, I think.
I thought you were about to be like, there's not that many boobs in this.
No, there are.
Okay.
I mean, like, there's like missions that are in like
strip clubs. You should have started with that, Nathan.
This book got boobs. What if it was number 1? Like Grand Theft Auto or something? I feel like there's more than even Grand Theft Auto in this.
There was like a Playboy game or something.
Mm.
So.
Dude, there was a... I will say that Cyberpunk 2077 has like the craziest sex scene I've seen in any media.
Okay.
Because it's like, your character's V, I'm a boy, you could be a girl. I don't know how it works if you are a girl, but there's this girl.
Whatever girl is you.
You just hijacked like a tank, and it's like pretty metal. And they have like chips in their brain, and so they can like connect to each other in some weird way. But when they did that, they like almost switched places, but they could still feel the feelings of their own bodies. And so I switched places with a girl, and then I started like touching myself, and she felt that, like felt it was good. It was like some crazy shit. And it was like, you were both connected in both having sex with each other. It was like, it's so bizarre.
Hmm.
And
How much is this game?
It's probably on sale right now. It's very good. It's very good outside of the sex stuff. That's the only sex scene I think you even have. But
yeah,
but I think you can.
I don't think I've ever had like sex in a video game. So
I think you could have sex with a hooker.
Cyberpunk hooker?
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of hookers.
Nice.
Depending on the area you're in.
Yeah, like I never played like GTA or anything, so it's like Saints Row or whatever has that.
I don't know if Saints Row does. It's a good question. GTA definitely does.
Anyway,
do you remember what was number 1?
I think it was a Playboy game or something.
Really?
You want me to double check?
No, it's fine.
I'm doing it anyway. I think I saved it.
I just want to know what I should avoid.
Yeah, right. Did I save it? This dude's got a lot of lists.
Some people just be making lists.
I guess so.
I mean, you sent it to me, didn't you?
Did I? Did you see it?
You sent it to me and you were like, is this why you wanted to read the book? Didn't you?
Did you respond?
I don't remember if I did.
No, I said exposed. Baldur's Gate 3, Leisure Suit Larry, Playboy, The Mansion / Private Party.
Baldur's Gate, 100%. Because you could just make anybody naked.
Conan Exiles?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you start the game naked, so... It's like a survival game and you start naked.
Have you seen Leisure Suit Larry?
No, it sounds familiar.
I guess it was like dog shit, but...
Leisure Suit Larry. No, I figured like... What is it? Duke Nukem? Do you know Duke Nukem?
Mm-hmm.
I figured that would have been on there. But yeah, that all checks out.
All right, Nathan. Anyway, you want to get into it?
Let's get into it. Now that boob talk is over, our famous segment. So
catch us next week.
Catch us next week for another boob talk for the next video game that hopefully has boobs in it. But issue 1, it focuses around Nadia, who is going through a psych evaluation before she's ready to go back out into the field as a trauma team EMT after most of her team was killed from gang violence and like this cyber psycho dude while trying to like help a client. So she's like part of a EMT, basically an ambulance, a future ambulance team, but they have guns. And so Nadia is cleared for duty, and her first call back is a platinum member call that she attends with 3 new guys, Stratter, Knapp, and Gordon. So they enter a gang-controlled skyscraper thing, and they're shot at. Nadia gets like PTSD and like hesitates in the heat of the moment, but they get to the client and they find out that their client is the cyber psycho that killed Nadia's team originally. So now she's hired to protect this person and even help them. Did you see the anime?
No.
No, it's good. You should watch it. Visually, no. It's spectacular. It's probably one of the best animes I've seen. Story-wise, it's fine.
Out of the four you've seen?
I've seen a few.
Four is a few.
I've probably seen more than you.
I don't think so.
Band for band right now. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Attack on Titan.
Death Note.
Death Note.
Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah.
Full Metal Alchemist. Brotherhood.
Okay. Cowboy Bebop.
I've been watching Inuyasha.
Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball Super.
Nah, I didn't care.
What else have we watched? We both watched Jujutsu.
We both watched some of I'm an Assassin, but I'm Fat Now.
Sakamoto Days.
Sakamoto Days.
Oh, you didn't watch Chainsaw Man.
I watched some of it.
I watched all of it, though.
The movie I've seen Spy Family.
I think I watched the first episode of that.
I watched first season.
Demon Hunter or Demon Slayer?
Yep, Demon Slayer. I've also watched My Hero Academia.
Nerd.
not all of it, to be fair. We both seen One Punch.
Yeah.
We're probably about the same.
I've definitely read more manga, though.
Yeah, you definitely have.
Anyway.
Anyway, so...
Why are we talking about...
I was wondering if you knew what a cyber psycho is.
No, is that what he is?
I think so. I didn't really know what else to call him. I just called him the client pretty much most of the time. But some people have so many like cyber modifications, it becomes like too much and you start to like go crazy. So this guy has a modification that you can get in the game called Mantis Blades. It's like the sword that kind of like comes out of your forearm a little bit. You see it when he like jumps onto the helicopter.
I thought he was just holding like swords.
No. Sometimes he's holding swords and he actually has like a mantis blade in there somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's a real one that you can get.
So he like jumps from the ground onto like the evac helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And then can like stick to the windshield with like his feet or whatever.
Yeah. He's got modified feet.
Then he stabs like the windshield and like kills like the pilots.
Yeah. Pretty gnarly.
Yeah, he's got these sponge sticky feet or whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty weird.
Probably so, just magnetic or something. But
robot arms, robot legs, robot face probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just going down the list of things that I recognize from the game.
Yeah, go for it.
They're in Pacifica, which is a district in like the larger like Night City.
Okay.
So that's a word that they said that I recognized and I wrote it down.
I don't remember reading that word.
Yeah. I will say... Oh, I wrote down, I didn't have the mantis blades. I had rocket arms because I had fun with rocket arms. That was my mod.
So you choose the mod.
Yeah, it's kind of like skill points in like a video game. You know how in like Batman or something like
XP? Or
you buy them with money in the game, but they're like modifications you can make to like your eyes, your arms, your feet, your legs, your core.
Uh-huh.
Like it just depends on how much you can handle. And as you level up, you can handle more.
Mm.
So it's pretty cool. And there's a lot of different ways to play, which I think it's
so pretty, it just like wouldn't let you if you like couldn't handle it.
You just wouldn't be able to put it on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like you play while being a cyber psycho or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And this I didn't get from the game, but I looked it up. I was just like on the wiki looking. But if you're a platinum member, you're guaranteed like top of the line medical service to where you're at. Within like 7 minutes, like 7 minutes or less type shit.
Mm.
So this guy apparently is a platinum member and he pays more to get better and faster medical treatment.
Then why the fuck did he like attack the helicopter?
Because he probably wasn't, he wasn't a part of that. Like the client was separate from this guy
right
before that. So he was probably attacking it just because he thought it was fun.
That's like attacking like your own like, cell phone carrier or something, you know? It's just like...
Maybe he wasn't a client yet.
Maybe he didn't like the client that they were like...
He was probably trying
to help or something.
Yeah, he was probably trying to hurt the client as well. So...
Yeah, Nadia like kind of sucks at this. Like even like when before her team died, she like hesitated like a lot.
She buckles under pressure.
And that kind of like why her whole team died kind of.
Yeah.
And then like when she passed like her psyche valve, there's like huge pauses like four or five times, you know, yeah. when this seems like time is of the essence because bullets are constantly flying.
Right. You're constantly being attacked.
Yeah. But like,
she feels bad. She feels bad because like her whole team died around her while she was tending to the client. And I like that that weighs on her a little bit because she's like, what the fuck was that for? All of my friends died.
She's definitely like a interesting character or whatever. But mm-hmm. like when I'm thinking about like just practicality of being.
Yeah, they shouldn't have let her out.
Like, get moving.
They shouldn't have let her out. That's for sure. I love the coloring of this book. It's like probably a highlight for me.
Yeah. Art and
the art coloring in general. Really they make the trauma team look fucking awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is cool because they looked cool in the game. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And like the coloring of Night City is very neon and stuff typically. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like a almost like watercolor aspect to like some of the colors. I think I was kind of expecting more like realistic, like neon looking stuff, mm-hmm. you know, but it definitely still fits, you know.
I think this is like a tasteful way mm-hmm. to do it.
Totally.
So then issue two. We have the trauma team is held up in the room with their client. Gordon, who's one of the trauma team members, gets shot in the neck. And Nadia, despite orders to leave with the client, stays to try and help Gordon. But he dies anyway. And in doing that, they miss their window to like actually leave and get to a different room or get out. So the trauma team calls for an Aerodyne evac, which is the flying car thing. But the gang members blow it up with a bazooka. And then we find out that Nadia's boyfriend was killed by the client that she's currently helping. And she like has visions of her boyfriend's like dead body and stuff in her memories. So in the present, she's like aiming a gun at his head. She's like, I should just kill him. But there's some Judge Dredd shit going on in this comic. It feels like that movie.
Yeah, totally.
Because they're just in a big building and there's a bunch of people trying to shoot them in the building. And they're blowing up walls left and right.
Yeah,
so I think totally. That's kind of fun.
Colin Bunn totally ripped.
I think he did.
Judge Dredd.
I think he did.
I mean, I guess it's kind of inevitable with, you know, future capitalist societies. You know?
It's basically the same universe in my head.
And then there's like, you know, corrupt kind of authorities.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of gang violence.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same universe, except the judges have a lot more reach and control than.
Yeah,
in Judge Dredd universe and
in Cyberpunk, it's just and whatnot.
It's just corporations.
So is like when you have like a gun in this universe, is it like a blaster where like it just overheats, but like essentially unlimited bullets, or is it just bullets that you gotta like find?
Most of it is pretty typical weapons. We do see him use a smart weapon in this. There's like a panel where you see him like aiming a gun, and there's targets like on people. There's smart weapons that you can do, and those bullets will hit every time, but there's just like a lock-in, like wind up pretty mm-hmm. much. So I never really used them for that reason. I just like shooting people with.
But they took bullets?
It takes bullets, and the bullets like basically heat seek and hit people, but they go a little bit slower. But there are some like energy weapons that shoot like little beams.
Yeah, because so it's like there's like two med people maybe, and then like mm-hmm. two like security kind of people.
Yeah.
And they're constantly shooting. I'm like, how many
all
like,
the time?
Like these like scenes like seem like they last like 10 minutes.
And
like
yeah.
10 minutes of like fully automatic shooting seems like you'd burn through any ammo you have.
But yeah.
I mean if you pick up
a lot of ammo in the game too.
Okay. Yeah. I mean if like your only job is to shoot, you're probably pretty stacked with
magazines, you're probably well equipped. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's laser weapons and stuff in the game, but those are less common. But most of the stuff you'll find is like a sniper or a shotgun.
Yeah, remember in like Battlefront where like you're like a stormtrooper and you just had a blaster. Yeah, it just would overheat. But like it's essentially like
unlimited. Yeah, there's stuff like that in the game.
Yeah. I guess there are shells flying around, so mm-hmm. that kind of answers the question, but
so then issue three. So Stratter stops Nadia from like killing the client, saying that like this is the job, this is what we're hired to do, don't kill the guy. And we find out that the client killed a gang leader in the building that they're in and got trapped there, and so that's why he needed to call the trauma team. But while walking down the stairs, the trauma team is shot at and Nap is hit, so they take cover in an apartment room to tend to like his wounds, but he also dies. And Nadia decides to just kind of pro bono help a sick child that's living in the apartment while the client is given a stim to clear a path for them. So he just kind of runs out with what looks like a knife, a couple knives, and he just rips a bunch of people up. So yeah, I assume the stim made him like faster and a little invulnerable, but
I think he was like injured, and so maybe the stim just kind of helped that not hurt as much. So
yeah, it's
kind of
like an adrenaline shot or something like that.
Because it seems like he's pretty fast normally.
Yeah.
So he's got a cleaver, and he's got like a...
And just like a kitchen knife?
Like a big one they use for like, you know, carrots or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or a cucumber.
The cleaver?
Yeah. No,
or the other knife. Yeah.
You know, you got like two of them in a knife block.
Yep, true.
I don't have a cleaver. It seems weird to have. I don't know why I need one.
You see some fancy knives that are like cleavers, and they cut real good, but I'm like, it's just too big of a knife.
Yeah.
Too big for me to handle.
I'm pretty sure
I'm not a butcher.
I'm pretty sure like everyone else, if I ever go through their drawers, they have a cleaver for some reason.
It feels cool, probably to use.
It's weird to have, though.
It is weird to have.
Like, it's like having like, I don't know, like a weapon that seems, it's like having a machete, essentially. But like in a drawer, it's like, why would you ever need that?
It's like, what if I need to chop bushes through nature as I'm walking? What if I need to
fucking decapitate somebody?
What if I'm walking through a forest and I need to cut some leaves as I'm walking through it?
I think every time I just see a cleaver, I just think of like Chew, you know?
Yeah.
Where that one dude gets one to the face.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, oh man, it's that probably possible. You probably go through someone's face with that and it'd be pretty brutal.
Yeah, probably. They're probably hard to throw because every like knife throwing thing I've seen, which is just the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
They're just like shitty, like small knives.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm bad at throwing those even.
Or like,
maybe they should have cleavers.
Maybe it's like similar to like axe throwing where it's like a,
you just need like one full rotation. Kind of yeah, I think so. But Knapp blames Nadia for like both of the trauma team deaths and says that he's going to report her if they get out alive. And that's pretty much it. So yeah, I assume the stim that he's given is like, it negates damage, makes him run faster, and so he's able to just like kind of go crazy. But that's a thing in the game.
Did you mention that like her boyfriend was like on like the team?
Yeah.
Which they like knew was like a bad idea because they're supposed to like prioritize like the client over like everyone else.
I like that he was kind of standing on business about that though.
Yeah.
Because Nadia's like, if it's me or the client, are you protecting? He's like, I don't think you want to know.
Yeah.
Or he's like, it's really hard to pick.
And then like when it did come down to that, like everyone died anyway. Yeah. You know,
I don't think that any of these deaths are necessarily her fault. Maybe she could have like gotten to the first guy a little bit faster.
I think definitely like in most of these, like less people could have died she was a little more on it. But yeah. Anyway,
and I like that Nadia is saying like, fuck the corporation, I'm going to help this kid.
Yeah,
because Knapp is like, she's not the client. And I'm like, dude, it's a sick kid. You gotta chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
Just say you lost some of the meds in the fight. But, you know, it shows that she just clearly regrets keeping the client as like a priority in the first scene where everybody died. So she's trying to change that. And then issue 4, they finally make it out of the building with the client. Strider calls for an evac and says that he's going to report Nadia. But then the client snaps Strider's neck and he's like, you're welcome. You're not going to get in trouble anymore. And she's not cool with that, but they have to run to escape more gang members. And then the Aerodyne ship thing shows up and guns down a bunch of gang members and they're all safe. But once Nadia has officially saved the client, she thinks about all of her dead teammates and her boyfriend and shoots him in the back of the head.
Well, but yep. What? Not necessarily.
You don't think so?
I think it's left up to interpretation.
I think it's left up to, but I think they both are just dead.
Maybe.
I think.
Because she's got like a bunch of guns on her, right? Because she's got a mm-hmm. like a gun up at the client's head.
Yep.
There's like a fuzzy panel.
And then a bunch of blood.
Which could mean a lot of things. And then there's blood on the ground with bullets. Seems like she has like more of like a pistol weapon, so maybe like regardless if she shoots,
Nadia's dead. They're gonna shoot. Nadia's dead for sure.
But maybe they shoot
her before she gets a chance to shoot the client.
So I think that's meant to be left up to.
I think so, but I think they did a good job.
They did the killing joke, Nathan.
They did the killing joke, but I don't think so, because the blurry panel looks like they're speed lines from like her shooting and relatively in the position that she has holding the gun at.
Okay, there is like a blood like in front of her, but that could be like kind of a artistic coloring kind of thing where it's like there's a lot of splashes and, you know, different watercolor looking backgrounds in this.
Could be just like she's being blown away. I do accept that. I think it's a cool way to leave this off, but the last line in here, which I think is like a little bit corny but kind of cool at the same time, she's like, how's it feel? And he's like, it feels platinum, because he's like a platinum member and she's got a gun to his head, so he's like, it feels like some platinum. I'm like, that's good, it's a good line, because platinum's a gun.
I think they probably could have just left that like blank, like no dialogue.
No, I like it. How's it feel? Feels platinum.
that means nothing to me, you know? Like, I get what they're saying, but
yeah,
I don't think that like makes the scene better for me, you know? Mm.
But regardless, I think it's probably the only way you could quickly wrap up a story like this. So I like the ending.
Yeah. It's very tight and like concise story.
It's not any longer than it needs to be, which I appreciate.
I mean, if it was like longer, like I'd be okay with that.
Me too. But
I'm like less like fond of like the 4-issue things, because I feel like we're not really seeing enough of this world, you know?
That is true, yeah. Because you spend most of it, it's a big world.
Yeah.
And it's very cool looking.
Right.
But you stay in this one building. So I agree with you there.
Like, I don't know if I would like play the game based off of this book, you know? There are like some cool elements for sure, and you like describe it well to make it seem like more fun, but
stylistically, I think with just the people that you see and the different mods they have, that's pretty faithful. But yeah, really the only thing you see outside the city is when they're like eating ramen, I think.
Oh yeah.
And then she sees her dead boyfriend, but that's like the only time really, or when they're flying into the building itself. So yeah, I'm sure the other cyberpunk comics are more ingrained in the world, but
yeah,
I think for focusing on this little team, it's pretty good. And I think it's funny that the client thought that he was doing Nadia a favor by snapping that dude's neck, and he's like, you're welcome, you're not gonna get in trouble anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he's like, he's gonna report you,
because if he was still alive, then this last scene wouldn't have worked, because
it wouldn't have.
He already had it out for her, you know. He probably would have just killed her, you know. So I guess that makes it seem like the only reason that he died there was so that this like ends the way it does. And so it's kind of like a plot device, it just is like death, you know, because the client has no reason to kill him really, and he has no reason to like want to help her.
I think there's a part of him that likes the nobility of Nadia, because when she's helping the sick kid, and I think it's Strider who's like, we gotta go, like we gotta save the client, the dude's like, just let her help. He takes like a moment to be like, let her help, I'll go kill the bad guys. And maybe he just wanted to go kill some bad guys.
Yeah.
But I think there's a part of him that's like, this is a good one.
Did you mention like why he was there in the first place?
He killed their gang leader, and he didn't think it was gonna be that big of a deal for the people in the building.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that he killed the gang leader, but
they really liked him.
They really liked him.
They like loved him. Yeah. So not only was he injured, he also had to like get out of this big ass
like skyscraper. Who knows how he got there in the first place? But I like this. I just like the irony of basically what is an ambulance having two miniguns strapped to the front and like gunning a bunch of people down.
Yeah.
Pretty ironic. But yeah.
So it's getting to Background Matters.
Yup.
Back matters.
We get a couple covers.
These Miguel covers are kick ass.
They are so good. He's really good. I want to see what else he's got going on.
Did he do the interiors?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I think that's him, right? Yeah, Miguel Valderrama. So, pretty cool. Just three covers from him.
Mm.
So, what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I give it like one scoop of like rainbow sherbet.
Mm.
You know, very neon. Colorful, neon,
mm-hmm.
real quick treat, you know, classic, a little nostalgic in a way, I guess. Maybe yeah. Of a time where I would play more video games, but what do you rate it?
I give it a classic ice cream sandwich, but Neapolitan.
Mm. Been using that a lot lately.
An ice cream sandwich?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Didn't you use that for like ice cream man?
Yeah, but that's because there's an issue called Neapolitan, Dana. What am I supposed to do? My hands are tied.
I think you'd use ice cream sandwich for something else.
Probably.
But anyway.
But it works for this. It's like quick. And I do kind of want to read some more of these cyberpunk comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you have at least those Costco ones. Costco whatever comics? Ones we used to get. No, the Costco like ice cream sandwiches. They're like not that big. And so you could take down two of them.
Yeah.
So.
But they individually wrap them so you feel bad.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I got to go through all the effort and making all that noise. Everyone's going to know that I'm having a second one.
Yeah.
So that's what I give it. It was a delight.
Give me a sec.
Okay.
So what do you think this is rated on League of Comic Geeks?
A 4-1.
4-1. Very close. It was 4-2.
Dang. Yeah, I believe that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not a lot of 4-1s, I don't think. Like I don't know if there's like, I know they do odd numbers, but I just like haven't seen a lot for some reason.
Is it mainly even numbers? I don't know if I've ever noticed.
I don't think so, but I just like, I don't think I've seen many 4-1s for some reason.
Well, maybe yeah. Some things just aren't 4-1 worthy.
Yeah, they're not like.
It's like, it's at least a 4-2.
They're not like a little bit better than good, you know?
Yeah, it's good. I can see some things just barely making 4.
Yeah. And then the 4 is like, that's a good comic, you know?
Yeah. For the most part,
that's
yeah.
4 stars.
Yeah. Anything, it's like when an Uber driver has anything less than like 4.9 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like, for the equivalent for this is like, if you're in the 3s, it's like, woof.
Yeah. It's like, do I even want to waste the time?
Exactly. You know? Yeah. That's what it feels like.
4s only.
Yeah. Rating. Yeah. Or just like Google maps. Reviews of like restaurants and stuff like that.
Mm.
If you're not above like 4.5, I'm not wasting my time.
Yeah. And it's like, if it's like between 4 and 4.5, like maybe it's underrated.
Yeah. You know, or people just don't know what they're ordering.
Maybe it's new.
Yeah. Maybe their burger isn't that good, but they could have other good stuff.
Yeah. 3 is like, you're really fucking gambling. You know, you're,
it's like you're going there for,
you're risking like somebody food else poisoning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I just looked it up and there's a Cyberpunk 2077 library edition and it's the same artist. So I guess he's been on Cyberpunk for a while.
Oh, he did that.
He did that big library edition one.
Well, what's in the library edition? Is it like more, is it this in it?
This is in it and there's.
Did he also do the other
stuff? You Have My Word. Oh, actually, that's a good question. Because there's also Jesus Hervas that's listed in there.
Yeah, he's probably just listed because this isn't it.
Yeah, it's probably just Trauma Team then. Yeah, you're right.
I think he should probably do the covers because the covers are pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's get in the pull list, Colin.
Shove in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Did you get anything today?
Yeah.
Okay. You like texted me. He's like, I got your comics and you're like on your way. And I'm like, Did you go to the comic shop just to get me comics? Like
no,
you,
I would never do that.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought.
No, I picked up...
Or maybe you're browsing and just end up not getting anything, but...
Yeah, I picked up Absolute Green Arrow, number 4.
Mm.
Daredevil, number 5. And then Battle Beast 12.
You said Daredevil?
Daredevil 5, yeah. Mm. Battle Beast 12. And Last Driver, number 1. And then I was holding Avengers Armageddon, and I was like, I don't think so. Not this time. It was a big enough week to be like, eh.
You got Last Driver too?
I also got the Last Driver.
Okay, cool.
I was debating it When I saw it, I was like, I don't know if I'll get that. And then when I saw it on the stands, I was like, I don't know if I'll get that. And I saw that it was printed horizontally. Mm-hmm. No, vertically.
Yeah.
It's binded vertically at least. And I was like, this is just a dumb gimmick. And I told you, I was like flipping through it and I saw like a double page spread and I was like, fuck, he's good at drawing cars, isn't he? And I picked it up. Sean Gordon Murphy, you got me again.
Yeah, I really liked Faster by
Jesse Lonergan.
Jesse Lonergan, yeah. Yeah,
that one's great.
I think like cars in comics is cool.
Aesthetically, if you know how to do that shit right, it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm not like the biggest Sean Gordon Murphy fan, not because like there's anything to dislike about him. I just like haven't put that much time into reading his stuff.
You ever read Chrononauts?
No.
He's good in that.
I think... No, I don't have it, but...
And then Batman White Knight
is that like is like thing. In like a list, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he's like good, you know. Yeah, I just haven't really read that much.
So I did pick that up. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I just got Battle Beast and Last Driver.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read anything?
Yeah, I read Invincible 60 through 65, which is the Invincible War. And you see like a bunch of Image heroes in that, which is pretty fun because you see like Spawn, Velocity. Do you know Velocity?
I just saw Velocity today. Like,
really? I was just like out on the street.
Yeah, dude. Bumped into her. No, it was like a meme that Image posted or something, and or Velocity like, was or it? A meme that like somebody made, and it's like the dude with the beard, and it's like, you literally like saved my life, and like it'd be like, I'm literally just Invincible or whatever. But then there's like a bunch of them. Like I'm literally just Velocity. Literally just Savage Dragon.
I have a Velocity.
You ever heard of Ant?
No.
It's like a female character that looks like an ant. It's just like a skin tight suit or whatever. It's like a Savage Dragon character or something. But I don't know if they have like Ant-Man powers or whatever, but
yeah. Do they have their own series or no?
They're just in there's Savage. Like a mini series, but that was it.
True, you know? Ant. We should do Insect Month.
Do I have to read two books?
Ant, Ant-Man, Wasp, Spider-Man.
Blue Beetle.
There's a couple bug ones. Is there...
Scorpion. Is there a bug?
There's probably a Scorpion book out there. Dude, the Tick.
The Tick.
We could do the Tick.
If only there was Tick stuff. Like, readily available, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, Velocity was in there. And I was like, oh, yeah. Because I just remember when I would buy... Yeah. Okay. When I would buy random comics, I saw that Image had a Speedster. And I bought it on my comic shop and I read it and it wasn't that good. But
that's funny.
But it feels like Invincible War is where it feels like modern Ryan Otley is like doing his thing.
Uh-huh.
Really bloody. Just like the way that he draws. It feels like it's such a stark difference from like the last five issues I read to this one. And then after that, like right after that is Conquest comes in.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
That's when he's like cleaning up and then Conquest just shows up.
Yeah. I'm like, this is a crazy five issues. Yeah. Also, it's crazy that the Invincible War was one issue and then him fighting Conquest, like it's all the same fight, is three issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd.
Is the Invincible War one issue?
Yeah, dude. It's all just one.
I think they call that trade the Invincible War. So it's like.
I guess
the buildup or something.
There's some like lead up where you see Angstrom being like, "What's up, Invincible boys?" But when they go and like attack, that's all one issue, from them attacking to it all getting resolved, which is crazy.
And then like whole ass people were dressed up as like the Mark variants or whatever at like Comic-Con.
You know? That was crazy.
And they have the whole ass Funko Pops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For people who saw like the curtain face one and shit like that.
When he was fighting Conquest in the show, was Eve in the hospital?
Yeah.
She was?
Mm.
Okay. I don't remember that. But she was in the hospital from something from Invincible War, I think. And then I read the issue where Eve goes like God mode and like energy beams Conquest. But when she does that, she like made her boobs bigger, and that's like an actual thing that Kirkman wrote into the book to like give Eve bigger boobs.
It's such a great book.
Cause like Mark's in bed. He's like, he's in the hospital bed and he's like, I need to ask. And she's like, yeah, my boobs got bigger. I made my boobs bigger somehow. Or like, and that's like a thing that they wrote. And I'm like, what am I just
sales are dropping, Nathan.
I guess so. Like Kirkman had to be like, oh by the way, Ryan, we're going to make her boobs a couple sizes bigger. Enough to notice.
Drastic times call for drastic measures.
Yeah, it's so funny. I'm like, did they do that in the show? Did they make her boobs bigger in the show? And I don't think so, because it's dumb.
I definitely don't remember that at all. Yeah, no.
It's just very
there's very a funny. Lot of stuff in that they, you know, will
I'm like
rewrite or abandon.
And it makes sense, because it's just like, it was like, it just made me laugh.
Yeah.
I also read Dead Man number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Really trippy book. Really awesome. Too smart for me, I think. But I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome.
For all 12?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's sure. A great creative team, dude. I'm going to follow them for forever, I think.
Mm, that's good.
At least for new stuff. But I would like to.
You going
to
go back to Ice Cream Man?
I would like to, but I'm reading Invisible right now. So that's the thing I'm going back to right now.
Yeah.
Absolute Green Arrow 3. Also, so pretty good. And then I read Avengers Armageddon number 2. And I think that's why I didn't pick up number 3. Because I knew it was coming out. I wanted to read it. I like a lot of the ideas in theory, but I'm just going to fall off of it because it feels kind of eventy. So I'm not connecting with it too much. But there is a new Captain America.
Like a venti?
Like an event. To event E.
Like a venti latte?
Yeah.
Venti cold brew?
It's like a venti and you order it on the app and they give you the wrong drink. And it's like, this is fine. I could drink it all, but I'm not going to.
Are you
going
to read Chip Zdarsky's Avengers?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Seems like you're losing faith.
No. I still like what he does. I think just events in general, it's hard to pull off.
Did you read Devil's Reign when it was coming out?
I did, but I fell off of that one too. But I think in my head, I wanted to catch up on Daredevil to the point of Devil's Reign. But I did read like the first two issues of it. Because I knew generally what was going on. But there is a character in that. There's a thunderstorm
and it was raining out.
Huh?
There's like a thunderstorm and it was raining out.
In Devil's Reign?
Yeah, rain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, there was no actual rain, I don't think.
Ah.
It was like Kingpin being mayor and he hires the Thunderbolts to shoot people in the streets or something. I was going to say, in this, there's a Captain America character that was given a super serum that basically makes him the Sentry. And I think that's kind of cool.
In Armageddon?
In Armageddon. Because he like created a something Connor character that is like a...
In his cap run?
In his cap run.
Yeah.
But he was given something that like he can fly and go toe-to-toe with like Red Hulk.
Oh.
So that was kind of cool.
Hmm.
That's all I read. What did you read this week?
I read The Max.
What?
Yep.
Nice.
I read 1-6. This trade is 1-4. And then Mike let me borrow like 1-6. So I read cool. All that. Because I've had it for like almost a year, probably a year now. But good. Yeah, I don't know if you want to flip through it. It's good. It's like not really for me. Like I'm not gonna like finish it or anything. I just kind of wanted to read what I had
to kind of get Sam Keith
to get like a feel for it. It's like Sam Keith is like awesome to like art wise. Like the writing kind of reminds me of like Spawn in a way.
I can see that.
Not because it's like an artist writing. It's just because like the Max like is homeless, you know, and he like is in alleys and stuff. But it's really trippy because like I don't really know what's going on. I don't really know what like the Max is. And his like villains are like there's like this one villain that's like kind of weird. Like I thought he died, but he's like still like narrating the book, you know, and his little like minion things are like still like. Running rampant, so maybe he's like only dead in like one
reality,
I guess. And it was like, but the art's cool, and I like what the character like looks like, you know, like the design is like really. I think that was probably what drove most of my momentum, you know, it's just like kind of looking at him.
Yeah, he is cool to look at,
but
to be fair, I think that's what got me through a lot of Spawn too.
Just looking at Spawn.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely fits in like the 90s image era.
Yeah.
Like Savage Dragon is in this.
Cool.
There's like references to other stuff. There's like, do you know what, you know the book called Pit? That was from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another big thing in Image Universe.
Yeah.
Like, issues like 7 and 8 are just like a pit crossover with the Max. So
how long did the Max even run?
35 issues, I think.
That's a good run.
Yeah, totally. But it's just like impossible to get like physical copies of, and you really can only read on like the Internet Archive.
Yeah.
But it's just like not really how I want to read it. I just happened to stumble upon this trade.
That's cool.
From a stream.
Yeah. That's neat.
I could probably get like $100 for that, honestly.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's like the, because there's an insane like rights issues with like the Max.
Yeah.
And with Sam Keith dying, like it's basically,
it's hard to done, do anything with
know?
That. Yeah.
I don't know if that like, what happens with that, or if they, if it'll ever come back to print or something. If there was like a Max Omni that came out, you know, I don't know if I'd be like, this is not what Sam would want, or if like I would like read it because it's like all collected, you know.
Yeah.
Made easy to read.
It would probably sell just because it would collect everything, but
yeah. Then I read ROM number 3 and 4. Pretty good stuff. It seems like the first trade is pretty like, I don't know, it seems kind of like normal, I guess. Like there's not, like there's some like interesting aspects to it, and you know, just wanting to learn more is like giving me a lot of momentum to read it, but there's nothing so far that I'm like, whoa, you know. It's just kind of like,
I don't know if you'll ever find that,
find like something like that's a hook, like, kind of thing.
Yeah, that like, because I don't know why that character's pop, like, is that character's not even popular.
I don't even know if it is popular now. But it did, but have
there,
like,
there's like a stigma, I feel like, around it a little bit, that's like, this guy's cool, at least. Like, people that do know who Ram is are like,
I don't
Ram's
know if
cool.
Stigma is the word for that, but aura, maybe.
Aura is the better word.
I think so. But it like went for like 70 issues, you know?
Yeah.
So there's so gotta
there's some sort of appeal.
I heard the next couple of issues are like, are better, you know, or like, there's like stuff to look forward to. So that's where I'm at with that.
Gotcha.
I read She-Hulk 12, which is like the end of like that first volume that Dan Slott wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read the next issue, which is She-Hulk 1, which is just like, I don't know why.
The start of the ongoing or something?
I mean, the first one was like ongoing for like 12 issues. But
and then it started again?
Yeah.
Same artist or no?
Yeah, it like bounces between like these two guys. One I don't love, the other one is pretty good. Oh, I wanted to show you something.
Where is it? Oh, it's right here. I prepped.
Oh boy, that looks like a big book.
I'm only this far in
it.
Oh,
you got it.
And that's very like,
oh, have you had that for a while?
Yeah, this is like
the She-Hulk. Yeah, yeah, okay.
One of my,
but you're reading it digitally, right? Because
sometimes it depends on like where I am.
Okay, gotcha.
So at this law office that she has, so in the Marvel universe, like Marvel comics, or like comics are a thing, and they're comics about things that happen to them.
Yeah.
And so this law office has a bunch, like every single issue, as like an archive for like how to handle certain law like cases, right? If that makes sense.
No.
So they do like superhuman cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, they just need to like, they have just this archive.
They need to reference things that have happened as part of the case, is what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
For to handle cases and stuff.
Yeah.
But their building gets knocked down by Titania. And so at the end of the first like run or whatever, the owner is like, oh, we'll rebuild. And then She-Hulk's like, how long will it take? He's like, 8 months. And then like the next 8 months later, like the new book came out, like exactly, which is kind of funny.
That is good.
And so they rebuild the building, but the archive is like gone.
Oh man.
And so this dude's like, the guy who like handles the thing, he's like, we can't get all those issues back. And he's like, now we're stuck waiting for trades. He's like, what's up with that? How are we supposed to function from month to month if everyone's waiting for the trades? I swear it's going to kill the industry, you know? And so it's
a little
like,
bit of commentary in there.
Yeah.
Slott's a trade hater.
Yeah. He's not like a, it's just like,
he's just make it a whatever joke.
Yeah, it's just like a trade reading joke. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that is good.
But I can't even remember what happened in that first issue. I'll remember when I get back to it, but
seems like a fun read.
It's like here and there, dude. Like, I don't know if I'll like keep the omnibus after I finish it, but like I definitely wanted to like start there because it was like pretty affordable and whatnot. But
yeah,
I really would need it to like turn around for me to like it. Like there's like, it'd be like one issue here, I'm like, that was pretty good, and then there'd be like another issue here, I'm like, nah, you know. But did you watch anything?
Yeah, I started watching Inuyasha. Taking that down.
How many episodes is that?
I think in total it's like 120.
Oh, breezy.
Yeah, it'll take a while, but we're like 15 in already. So if you look at it in that respect, we're like 10% of the way through.
Oh, okay.
So it's not 167? Too bad. 167, that's more than I said for sure. Well, I think
about 10.
I think I had her look up the total runtime of the show if we were just like nonstop watch it, and it was like less than 3 days. And I was like, that's doable.
Just take some time off. I'll take the
Yeah. I like it so far. It's very kind of like cozy because it's like one of those animes that's old enough to where it has like this grain in just like the filming, and so it kind of like makes me sleepy because it feels just like old school cartoons almost. It's kind of like relaxing, yeah, in that sense.
I did fall asleep
during a critical episode where we beat like Inuyasha's full demon brother, and he gets like the sword that he uses for like the rest of the series, and I'm like, where do you get that thing?
I feel like certain animes came on at a certain time, like, you know, like Toonami, which is like around bedtime, you know.
Yeah,
so like I could see myself just falling asleep to like Sailor Moon or something.
I think it triggers that like deep in my brain without me even realizing.
It's just
I can be sitting up lullaby. Yeah, it kind of is. So I can't just be like laying down watching it or also fall asleep, but if I sit up it's fine. But it's a lot funnier than I thought, because there are demons. It's basically just like this girl, it's an isekai, she like falls down this well and she goes to like a feudal part of Japan in like the past, and there's demons that are running around. Inuyasha's a half demon, half human. Anyway, they fight demons to try and collect part of this jewel that does something, and some of the demons are just like goofy. There's one that is just killing a bunch of people because he lost all of his hair, and he's like insecure about being bald, and so he's killing a bunch of people.
I get that.
To like somehow get his hair back. And he's like, this is like a very fleshed out problem, and I'm like, a bald guy definitely wrote this, because it's just like, it's really funny. And he has like three like strands of hair, and throughout them fighting the hairs fall off and he gets more and more angry. And so like just that character in general is funny to me. But good show. I like it so far. And then I watched the first episode of Lanterns.
Me too.
You watched it?
Yeah. Nice. What'd you think?
It's a great start. I think it's better than I thought it was gonna be. And I was cautiously optimistic kind of going in.
I feel like we just got like so much, like if you like got that kind of stuff in your algorithm, like so much of what it is was kind of like told to us.
Yeah,
you know, like Lindelof-esque, and it'd be like kind of a True Detective or whatever, and like so many stills and stuff. And it's just like there wasn't really that many surprises, you know, like it just like it kind of played out how I kind of imagined, I guess.
For me, it was kind of like there's a lot of green flags and a lot of red flags, because I'm like, Lindelof, pretty good.
Yeah.
Lindelof sometimes can be pretty bad. And it's like Tom King, pretty good most of the time. I don't know if he's done any TV, could be pretty bad. And it's like, you know, set on Earth only, and you don't see that many like space things. It's like, that could be good or bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think going in, I'm just like, I'm just going to try and, you know, be open-minded, and I like what I saw, and I think it's interesting so far. I'm just glad that it is aliens that they're fucking with. And
But aliens that look like humans.
Aliens
that look
well, they yeah, they
it's such a supernatural like
it cop really out, is. You know? But I think it works. Like, well.
These are demons, but they're in humans.
They look like typical white guys.
Yeah,
I like the dynamic between both Hal and John Stewart. I see what they're going for with having like an older Hal and like a younger John Stewart, and I like that they don't necessarily shy away with being like. There's little blue guardian guys, and they gave me this ring, and they are forcing me to train some other dude in case I die, and I don't want to train you because that's like not who I am, but I guess I have to, you know. But they're saying
is
things.
Is that why? Like the guardians are making him?
The guardians are having backups essentially, and what I gathered or what I think is the reason is that so if Hal Jordan dies out of nowhere, it doesn't just go to somebody that doesn't know anything about being a Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
It like helps with the transition process, I guess.
Okay,
and so. I think Hal is just like, I'm not going to die. Why do I need to fucking train somebody? And so he's like a little bit bitter about it. But I also just kind of like the way that Kyle Chandler has this blind sort of confidence about him. So I think he plays that part pretty well. I need more constructs because we didn't really see any of that. We saw him counterfeit some money and do a bottle opener.
Yeah. Aren't they not supposed to do like things that are like beneficial to you or whatever?
That, yeah.
Like money?
If they don't. If they decide not to adapt that part of it, I think that's fine because if it helps to have some fun constructs thrown in there, that's fine. Have them counterfeit money to play one song at the bar over and over again.
Construct a hooker.
Yeah. Or, yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, I like it so far.
I like whatever Kyle Chandler's doing. I don't know if it like I'm not attached to Hal Jordan and it doesn't really feel like Hal Jordan and like how I know him, but I like just what he's doing.
I think that's how I feel. I like what he's doing. I like his approach, although I don't know if it's like necessarily a, I don't think he's necessarily as stoic as like a Hal Jordan necessarily.
Sure. Do you like that suit?
No, what the hell is that?
Why is it like so high
he
up?
Looks so weird. It looks like he made that at home. So I
don't know about that, but like it seems like the official logo suit was like shrunk down and moved up just so it would be in camera for that interview.
It was weird. Kyle Rayner has it like up on his shoulder, like, but it's off centered. It's like to the side. So maybe they're trying to
like a pocket tee.
He looks like weirdly bulky or something. I don't know what it was about. I'd have to see it.
Yeah.
I would like to see it. I can see why it wouldn't be like a CGI suit that they just put on.
Yeah.
But there's arguments for either. So I don't know what they're going to end up doing.
Since like it's a contract, it seems like CGI would be like, okay, but you know.
Yeah. But like,
I think they're just like trying to not do what the movie did. You know?
I think that's a valid criticism and makes it like a little bit boring. But Guy Gardner's is like a suit that he just like has and he puts on. So I think maybe it just doesn't make a suit for you. You just need the ring.
Do you think he's going to be in this?
Apparently, yeah. I don't know how that all works because he's apparently a lantern, and I think Superman was set in 2025.
Yeah,
and so
what we're seeing is 2016 shit. So maybe
it was 2016, but at the very very end was 2026.
Right, but
so they at least seemingly coexisted for a little bit of time.
Right.
So I just don't know how that part of it works yet, and I don't think we're supposed to know. But yeah, he's going to show up at some point.
They just had to ride around whatever James Gunn was doing.
Yeah.
Like, I need Nathan Fillion doing something. And he looks and he's like dumb.
I told him I'd give him the job, okay? I like the interview bit where he's interrogating the alien.
Yeah.
I think that's probably like the best part
of
that episode so far because he's like, where'd Harry Potter go to school? And it's like an alien that can like look up the internet or something.
I think they probably just like brushed up on
just football
Alabama stuff.
Yeah. And they're like, this is all I'm going to need to know.
Yeah.
So I like that Hal Jordan has seen this. You could tell that he's been doing the job for a little bit because he immediately clocks that guy as an alien and knows how to like out him as an alien. But that scene is just kind of interesting because he's like, what's your view on Obama? And he's like, he's a president, ran for 2 terms right after Bush. You know, it looks like he's looking stuff up in his head. So I just wonder how they work.
Yeah. Because like he would be able to look up Hogwarts, you know, it's just like he just had general knowledge of other shit.
Mm hmm.
Has there ever been a Green Lantern ring that like has to like update?
It has to update? Are you talking about the hologram thing?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any software or firmware updates in the rings.
Because they made it seem like, or they said like that the ring has to like update, but he hasn't updated it in like a couple of years or something.
Oh, I must have missed that. And no, I think that was just the hologram piece. Because they have to like upload their mind. That's a new thing.
Yeah, like something like that. Yeah.
You upload like your consciousness. And I forget the reason why, but what they said in the show, I was like, okay. And that's something that I haven't seen before, but It works for that scene because it's like you got to present Hale in Nebraska or whatever he was saying. It's hailing in Nebraska as like a code word for himself. I haven't seen that. It's a liberty that they're taking for the show, but I think it's fine. I don't think it breaks anything.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the, like I get, you have to kind of explain this world. Hopefully the rest of the show isn't as much like exposition, because there is quite a few like,
there is a lot to cover
points, but
it's weird that Jon Stewart seemingly was training for the opportunity to be a Green Lantern his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Or his dad was forcing him by shooting an apple off of his head, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's not something that like you can, your goal shouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to be a Green Lantern when the opportunity arises.
Yeah.
But I can understand the logic that they're taking to being like, I'm training myself to not feel fear so that I could fit in this role well.
Right.
But training for it seems arrogant.
Yeah, totally. But he would, seems like he'd be the best fit.
He seems like a good fit. He's a great, like, he feels great as Jon Stewart, too, as someone, like, he feels very Marine coded, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, using the Marines and stuff.
Yeah, I don't
know. So I think Aaron Pierre does a great job.
I hope it's not, like, his dad is, like, making him do it. I hope it's, like, Jon, like, showed interest early, and then based off of what they know, his dad's like, you need to do this.
That's my question.
If you want to, you know, do this, if this is what you really want to do or whatever.
Yeah, that's my question so far, because it feels like he wouldn't want to get his head an apple shot at.
Yeah, it's like if like my son like was like, I want to play basketball or whatever, I'd like figure out like how to make him better at basketball, you know?
Yeah, but you're not forcing basketball on him.
No.
You're
not
forcing him when he's like, I guess two, maybe that's
the father figure I want to see, but definitely not what it could be, you know?
Father figure that you want to
like
see.
I want him to be like supportive and want him to
of his goals
to do the things that he wants to do, but or if he's just kind of making him be all like military coded or whatever.
Yeah,
so we'll see, I guess.
And I watched with Sophie, she seemed to like it. She laughed a lot, which is cool. There's just, I think she likes the sass.
What's so funny?
Yeah. I think she just kind of likes some of the sass, or just like when he gets into the bar fight and it's just like Jon Stewart casually talking to that one girl. So she thinks it's entertaining, which is cool.
Yeah. Sarah, I asked Sarah if she wanted to watch it. She's like, no. And then she like went to bed. She's like, you watch that show if you want. I'm like, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What'd you watch?
I watched Tires season 3.
All of it? Oh, wow.
It's like 20-minute episodes.
Yeah, I know. I just haven't started yet.
We had a Saturday, you know. Pretty good.
Funny?
Yeah. I don't know if it's like funnier when like Lucas is sleeping and I like have to not laugh, you know?
I think that contributes a little bit.
Yeah, maybe, but. And so there is some good stuff in this. I watched Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah. I did see that on your Letterboxd, and I was like, why is he watching the second Ghost Rider?
Because I'd never seen it. And I.
Wait, you haven't?
No. Why would I see that? It just kind of came out like a bunch of years later, and I just didn't get around to it, I guess.
What did you think?
Not terrible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like definitely not like a good movie or whatever. Like, there's like a lot of bad stuff about it, but there's some fucking kick ass shit in there too, you know?
Like, well, I don't even remember it that well, but. I just know I've
seen it. You've seen it?
I've seen it.
Dude, there's some sort of like construction site or something.
Uh-huh.
And he can make whatever he rides like into like a fiery thing. And there's this big like tractor machine thing that's got this arm and this giant like blade on it that he sits in, and it is all on fire. And he's like, when killing people.
God, that's cool.
And it was fucking crazy.
Sophie really likes Ghost Rider, so she would be down to watch
it. Really? I want to rewatch the first one. And Nicolas Cage is like such a freak in it. And I don't know if that's like something that happens in Ghost Rider books or whatever.
I don't know. But, like, I've never read one.
He like goes crazy when he starts to like turn or whatever and gets all hot or whatever. And this one was edited super cool to where, like, I don't know if it really makes sense, but like Ghost Rider was kind of like a, and it didn't seem like he was like really like there. Like he's a kind of a figment of like imagination almost, because like he didn't seem like he walked up to people or ran up to people. He like almost like it was like boop, 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 and it was just weird how it was edited to where like you really couldn't track this dude if you were trying to like follow him with your eyes, and
like Jumper type shit.
No, he wasn't like teleporting, but it just
the cuts were
like really, and they made it seem like his movements were like really sporadic.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, the skull is, like, black in this. I don't know, make it look more burnt or something.
Hmm.
I don't know why, but... I just remember seeing...
Blackface, huh?
I don't know. Black skull.
Black skull.
And I remember seeing the trailers when it was coming out. And it was very distinct. And just, like, seeing Ghost Rider, like, in, like, the daytime was just, like, such a cool look for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why. But, like, whenever there was... At the end of the movie, it's like during the day, and it just like was really, really cool looking for me.
Nice.
Nick Cage doesn't have abs in this.
Do you see his abs?
Yeah, there's a specific moment where they show his stomach, and
they're not abs.
And I don't know why they like are distinctly saying or showing like he does not have abs.
Not in this one. Okay.
Yeah, he's like secluded, and he's been secluded for a while because he's Ghost Rider, and he was in a hospital for some reason, and I don't know. I think he had like a feeding tube or something. And so like his shirt like comes up and it's just a belly, you know,
which is fine.
Yeah. Which is fine.
He probably just was like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
And I could see that.
There's like a kid. His name's Danny. So maybe he's Danny Ketch or something. I don't know. But there's some terrible dialogue in this. And, you know, Ghost Rider's coming up to this kid, but the kid's able to like turn off the Ghost Rider flames or whatever and just turn back into Nick Cage. And right after he does that, Nick Cage is like, so that just happened.
Oh,
and
my
I'm like, oh, get that shit out of here.
Yikes.
I almost turned it off.
Yeah. That should be an instant kill switch for any movie.
Yeah. And then this one, when he was like about to turn or whatever, there'd be like little like bursts of skull that would come up as if he was like the mask or something.
Yeah.
And that was like a little odd.
I think I vaguely remember that, yeah.
There is a Wilhelm scream.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he just throws someone off a moving car or whatever.
That's fun.
I was thinking, like, there should be a Letterboxd account where someone just, like, reviews movies that have Wilhelm screams.
He only reviews
5 stars.
All of his reviews are just, like, like, and that'll let you know there's a Wilhelm scream.
Parentheses, Wilhelm scream.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all right.
That's fun. Did you watch that with Sarah?
No, I would never.
That's fair.
There's some movies I just like, I can't make her watch anything, and I don't really bother suggesting anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, if we watch a movie, it happens.
Sometimes it works out for you.
Sometimes. Then I watched Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Mm.
Is that
the new one?
No, that's a reboot.
Oh, okay.
No, this one's from 2001. There's a couple like Kevin Smith movies in between this and like Clerks, and I just like stumbled upon this one. I'm like, oh, I wanted to watch that or whatever.
Is this the second one?
So it's like the fourth like Jay and Silent Bob movie technically, because they're just kind of like side characters they're kind of like cameos almost. To where they're just playing these same characters.
But for their... Oh, yeah.
I think they're in, like, Mallrats and, like, Chasing Amy.
But for their own movie, is that the only...
I think that's their first solo movie.
Oh, okay.
Because they were in Clerks as well.
Okay, got it.
So, it was okay. It definitely felt like a early 2000s comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this kind of, like, nerdy stuff in it that I'm like, oh, that's for me, you know? Yeah. And
you got your little cookie.
It's like kind of like a stoner movie, but like there's not like that much about it. I think I expected it to be like funnier, But yeah, still pretty good.
Yeah.
It has a great ending, though. Big fan.
What happens?
So, okay. So
what's great about it?
Little meta. Hold up. So Jay and Silent Bob, someone made a comic based off of their appearance.
Okay.
It's called Blunt Man and Chronic.
Cool.
And
it's great. Great title.
Yeah. And a movie studio bought the rights for the comic without consulting them. Mm-hmm. And so the movie's being made, and they go to Hollywood or whatever to stop the movie from being made. That's the whole plot.
Okay.
And they want the movie to stop being made because the internet's just coming around, and a lot of people are like talking shit about Jay and Silent Bob. And so they think if they stop the movie, then people stop talking shit.
Okay.
But the movie gets made anyway. And then someone suggests, like jokingly suggests, the only way to stop people from bullying them online is just to like hunt them down and and beat them up.
Nice. I like that.
And so at the end of the movie, they like just go to like all these kids' house and just beat the shit out of these kids. And it's so convincing that they're just beating up minors.
Nice.
And it's so fucking funny. So that was really funny, but
I like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll get through Kevin Smith movies like slowly, but I don't think this one is like a tough one to get through, you know?
Right.
It's swift, like hour and a half movie, you know?
Cool.
But Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
We got another video game.
Yes, sir.
Video game comic.
Yes, sir.
And you had some written down. Which ones are we hitting?
Batman and Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
0 point.
What a joy.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Batman and Fortnite, 0 point. Sounds good. Everybody loves Fortnite, Daniel. It's big right now.
Yes, sir. So get us in with the young crowd.
Yeah, finally. We've been looking for our in.
Hello, fellow kids.
How do you do?
So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Tell us about video game comics. We should...
What Fortnite review. Comics do you want us to read?
I think this is all of them, Nathan. I think that's... It might be the only one.
What's in Fortnite that has a comic book? Like The Simpsons or something. Rick and Morty. Everything's in Fortnite. Name a thing. It's in Fortnite.
Porn.
Well, you can find it.
TreyWearsPod@gmail.com. Email in. And goodbye.
Bye.